been studying and talking about the what-if game. And I think, you know, through this, we've all realized that all of us have played this game at one time or another in life. Most of us play it on a regular basis, okay? And this is the scenarios where we kind of imagine what would otherwise have happened if, okay? And so we ask questions like, what if I did this instead of that? Or what if this were to happen? Or what if it doesn't work? And then what are we going to do? What if they don't show up? Or what if he doesn't keep his promises? All kinds of different things like that that we find ourselves in on a regular basis asking that what if question. Okay? After the fact. All right? Then we tend to second guess ourselves where we do what we refer to as Monday morning quarterbacking, where we go back and we look at it and say, boy, if only I had just done this, if only they would have done this or they wouldn't have done that, and we just play those kind of scenarios back and forth, all about what if, okay? If I had it to do over again, what if this happened, what if that happened, what if, and here's one that I found for you I thought kind of interesting. What if I never find out who's a good boy? Just let that sink in a little bit, okay? You'll it'll come to you. So, playing the what-if game. And what we're doing in this series of lessons is playing the biblical version of what-if, okay? And what that has to do with is scenarios from the Bible or biblical issues where what we're doing is asking that question, what if? All right? And the reason that we're really doing this whole study is to prepare us for the judgment day. And what I mean by that is, I'm trying to challenge you right now to ask that question, what if, all right, so that later on we don't have to be worried about it. In other words, we're playing Monday morning quarterback right now, not waiting until later, because in the judgment day, I don't want anybody to be standing up there going, if only I would have done this. If only I'd have done that. Or if only I wouldn't have done this. It's too late then. So let's face the challenge now in asking ourselves that question. What if? When it comes to some things that God has been very specific and very plain about what He wants us to do. All right? So this morning, here's the what if scenario. What if you just forgave someone? Okay? What if you just forgave someone? Somebody in your life that has hurt you in some way, whoever, doesn't matter. And you're still carrying some of that hurt and pain, resentment, anger, all those emotions that go along with whatever that person has done to hurt you. What if you were to just forgive them? No strings attached, just forgive them. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Forgive and forget. We're going to begin talking about that particular idea. Here's our text. Jesus says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. How much? He says, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So what is he telling us here? Well, don't judge or condemn people, but instead forgive and give. In a nutshell, that's basically what that text is all about. Okay? In other words, whatever you do, it will be done to you. Okay? And not only will it be done to you, but it will be done to the measure that you use. In other words, however you mete it out, that's how it's going to be meted out to you. So, in other words, what we need to think about is we've got to consider how do we treat those people who have hurt us or offended us in some way. What do we need to do about those folks? Well, again, let's talk about this idea of forgive and forget. Is that really possible? You see, some people kind of take it this way. I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. And usually when people are saying that, they're kind of saying it along this line of, you know, I don't trust you, I'm never going to trust you again. They're still angry. I'll forgive you, but I'm never going to forget what you did. On the other side of the coin, though, is those people that are struggling with this whole idea, saying, if I don't forget, then have I really forgiven the person? And I've said I've forgiven them, and I've tried to forgive them, but I can't forget it, and so have I really forgiven them? So, again, what about this whole forgive and forget thing? Can we really do that? And I suggest to you, no, not really. We need to understand properly what that is all about. Forgive and forget, okay? I think we can forgive and forget, but we need to do it the way that God does. And I think the misunderstanding comes from us not really understanding the text that we so often refer to in the Bible about God forgiving and forgetting. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, the writer of Hebrews says of God, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Well, the writer is quoting really from two passages, okay, that are very similar. One from Isaiah, where God says to the Israelite people, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And then in Jeremiah, where God says, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. So you see, we tend to look at this and we go, well, God, you know, when he forgives us and he doesn't remember our sins anymore, so aren't we supposed to be like God and we're supposed to forgive and forget? Well, here's the thing. When the Bible says God does not remember our sins, are we to believe that God is this kind of old man sitting up there in heaven and he's like a lot of us are getting kind of senile and we don't remember things very well, and so God's sitting up there going just like us where God just, he forgets stuff because he's old, right? No, that is not the idea that we need to have of God forgetting our sins or remembering them no longer. All right? In Isaiah, what Isaiah is sharing with us, God is speaking of how much mercy he has for unrighteous Israel. And he's emphasizing to them that he is a merciful God and he wants to forgive their sins if they would just repent. And in Jeremiah, God is actually giving a prophecy of the Messiah in him coming. The time when our sins, as we just commemorated a few moments ago, our sins would be taken away, washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And they would be, by God, remembered no more. But again, what does that really mean? Well, basically, in these statements, okay, what he is saying is that God will remember our sins against them no longer. Now, what does that mean, against them? In other words, that God will no longer hold those sins against us. It's not that God forgets that we've sinned. What he's saying is he will not hold those sins against us. He will remember them against us no more. So in the same way, you and I, we can forgive someone, and we will not forget most of the incidents that happened to us where someone really hurts us. We're not going to forget that. Okay? Our brain is wired to where we're going to remember those things. But we can remember the events and yet not remember the sin against the person or persons who has hurt us. Does that make sense? You understand what I mean? You say. In other words, we remember the event, but we no longer hold that against that person, which then frees us and allows us to no longer be held captive. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, you see. But that's what we've got to understand. We can forgive and forget just like God does. But that doesn't mean that we wipe it out of our memory and it'll never come up again. What it means is that we're no longer going to hold that against that person or those persons. That's what God does for us. Okay? You see, God does not hold grudges. And that's really what that's all about. Okay? To forgive, in other words, then, does not mean that we completely forget about what happened. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. That's really, I think, in large part what that's all about. Because what happens when we refuse to forgive, we put ourselves in bondage. Let's talk about a grudge that won't budge. Okay? What is a grudge, by the way? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines it this way: a feeling of deep-seated resentment or ill will. Okay? We're going to hold a grudge against someone. And in a lot of ways, whatever that person has done to us, as long as we're holding that grudge, it's kind of like this image right here. You've got this huge boulder that you're trying to move out of your way, and as long as you're holding a grudge, you're not going to be able to move that thing. Because it's just too big and heavy. It is a grudge that will not budge. You see, we do oftentimes hold grudges against people, don't we? And therein is the problem. We need to be more like God and be able to let go of the grudges. See? Because the grudges, as long as we hold them, they will destroy us. It is a refusal to forgive someone for what they have done. Right? I've heard people say this a lot. Especially, you know, you watch the news of some terrible event that's happened. Someone's done something terrible to someone, and a person being interviewed will say, "I will never forgive them for that." Well, when people are saying that, what they don't understand is that, first of all, they're condemning their own soul to hell. As we've studied many times before, Jesus says, if you don't forgive others when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. But that's what holding a grudge will cause us to do. I'll never forgive you. And it will cause us to be in bondage to that person and will cause us to lose our own soul. Holding on to a grudge doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak. It sets you free. I like that. Okay, and here's another one. Think about this. Let this sink in a little bit. When you hold grudges, your hands aren't free to catch blessings. Right? You can't hold the grudge and be free to catch the blessings that God wants to give you in your life. You've got to let one go. So let go of the grudge so that your hands will be free to receive the blessings that God wants to give you in your life. So let's talk about some grudge busters. Okay, how do we do that? How do we bust the grudges that we have, truly forgive someone, and no longer hold that against that person? We've got to refuse, first of all, to hold those grudges. I am not going to go there. I refuse to do that to people. Because, you see, here's one of the things about that. If you hurt me now in this life, and I decide I'm going to hold a grudge against you, then whatever you did to hurt me, you're going to hurt me for all eternity with the same thing. Because I am holding a grudge. I refuse to let anything that someone has done to me to keep me from being saved. I'm just not going to do it. Whatever they did is not worth it, you see. So I refuse to hold a grudge. And then here's something else that we can do that Jesus tells us. Look at what he says here. When you start praying, okay? In other words, Jesus talked about when we come to worship God, okay? When you stand praying, and notice what he says here, and you hold, if you hold anything, now what does that mean? Hold anything. A grudge, okay? If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So, in other words, if you think about it, at least, and it's not just worship, so in any time that you pray, but at the very least, if you think about it this way, when we come together on the first day of every week, you have a weekly ability to be able to let go of the grudges. Okay? When you come and you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. And that's, at the very least, a weekly check to be able to let go of any grudges that we may have. Okay? In Colossians, the Apostle Paul says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance." Okay? A grievance, what is that? Another word for a grudge. Okay? Another word for a grudge. If you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Okay? Bear with each other. Why does Paul say that? And keep in mind that he's writing to Christians when he says that. And he says, bear with each other. And the reason that he says it is because he knows that sometimes we're going to hurt one another. Okay? Sometimes we're going to hurt one another, and we need to forgive one another. We need to bear with each other for our shortcomings that we have. Because, hey, this may be a surprise to you. None of us is perfect here. Okay? So that's why we need to bear with one another. We're going to mess up sometimes, and we need to forgive one another. Holding a grudge is like letting someone live rent-free in your head, because that's where they stay. That's where they stay, right there in your head, in your mind, controlling your thoughts and so forth, okay? So, finally, what we need to understand is, okay, we got to get rid of the grudges. We need to break the chains. Well, what are we talking about? The chains of what? Well, the chains that we are find ourselves in bondage to the person or persons that we refuse to forgive. We put ourselves in bondage to that person, okay? And until you forgive that person, they will own you. Okay? They will own you. You say, well, how does that happen, Russ? Well, basically this. That person controls your feelings and emotions. Okay? Here's how it works. Basically, any time that you think about that person, what does it do? It causes you to get frustrated, causes you to get hurt and angry, and all those emotions start coming back, right? And then after a while, you know, it's just a matter of somebody just comes in and they mention that person's name, or you see that person, not even talking to you, but you see them off in the distance, and all that emotion just comes right back again. And there's that anger, and I hate that person's name. They control you. They own you. And they're controlling your emotions and then your behavior, because you behave based on how you think and feel, okay? They're controlling you, and a lot of times they don't even know it. They don't even know that they're controlling you because they're not even aware that they've hurt you in some way. And that's why Jesus tells us, in Matthew, he says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. Because there are sometimes when somebody might have offended us or hurt us in some way and not even realize that they did. Maybe they said something that maybe we took in a certain way, they didn't mean it that way or what have you. There's a lot of that going on today, isn't there? Now, you're off being mad at them, won't talk to them anymore, and they're kind of going, what did I do? So Jesus said, don't let that happen between you. Go to them and talk to them. Tell them, you know, what happened. Get it straightened out between the two of you. So why? So that you can remain as brothers and sisters. Right? Go and get it straightened out. When you choose to forgive those who have hurt you, then you take away their power. They can no longer control you. Now again, the event that happened is still in your brain. It's still in your mind. You can recall any time you want to. But as you recall it, once you're free, guess what it doesn't do anymore? One word. Hurt. It doesn't hurt anymore. It's just an event, a historical event in your life. you say? Because they no longer control you. You've taken away all their power to do so. Then you're set free. You're no longer bound by that person. So basically what's happened is you're breaking those chains. And that's what we accomplish when we forgive people. Right? To truly forgive them. And remember whatever they have done no longer against them. Don't hold it against them any longer. Just let go of it. So they can't control you anymore. So, what if? What if you just forgave someone? Think about whoever might be in your life that has hurt you and you haven't forgiven them yet. Maybe that person is, you know, beginning to control you, or maybe they've been controlling you for a long time. Whatever the scenario is, what if you just forgave them? No strings, no other requirements, just forgive them. What if you just did that? What would happen? Okay? How would things change in your life if you just forgave them? Okay? What would you start doing differently? Maybe no longer being frustrated and hurt and angry. Maybe that would change. That would be a good thing, wouldn't it? Okay. Maybe what would change is that you'd get up in the morning and you wouldn't be angry and frustrated and hurt any longer, and you'd have a great day to look forward to rather than being in bondage to that person. Maybe that's what would change. Think about what would change. What would happen? What would you do differently? Maybe the next time you saw that person, would the way that you talked to them or greeted them or didn't or what have you, would that change? If you just forgave them, what if? What if one opportunity to change your life? And that's an opportunity right there, to forgive someone who has hurt you. And by the way, to forgive them, they may not even be around anymore. Maybe that person may have even passed away. But they're still controlling you. So you may not have the opportunity to go to them personally and talk to them and forgive them, you know, verbally, face to face. If you do, great. If you don't, you can still forgive them. Have the same result. You have an opportunity to do that. Just forgive them. Okay? And see how that would change your life. Wes has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation. And so we extend an invitation to anyone that, and here's a challenge for you to think about. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? You haven't done so yet. Challenge you, and I encourage you, just forgive them. Decide that you are no longer going to hold whatever they have done against them. Forgive them. You need some help and maybe some guidance, encouragement to do that, some strength, and let us as a family help you. That's what family does. If there's something else that we can help you with as a family, we can't help you if we don't know what it is. So we offer this opportunity for anyone to come and say, hey, I need some help with this. I need prayers for this. Or maybe somebody just has something really great that God has done for you and you want to share that with the rest of us. That's a good thing to do. Maybe someone here this morning who's not yet a Christian. If you have not given your life to Christ yet, you need to know that you're still lost in your sins. It's a great opportunity for you if you're ready to make a commitment to be a child of God. You call upon Jesus as your Lord, repent of the sin that is separating you from Him, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. All you got to do is let us know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone like to have a private prayer conversation with him, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.